Ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. The message the Lord had put on my heart to share this week is really, as I sat and listened to the Sunday school, it really just dovetails with the Sunday school lesson this morning and actually one of the same scriptures. So trust the Lord will help us all to get hold of what He's trying to communicate to us today. I'd like to begin over in the book of Daniel. I've written on the board the long haul on consistency. I'd like to begin in Daniel chapter 6 this morning. We're very familiar with the story of Daniel and with his life and the events that transpired in his life. Over in the 6th chapter in the 10th verse, the scripture says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed." Now, just as summarized, remember that God had blessed Daniel in Babylon. He had been prospered. He had been elevated to a position of great authority in the kingdom. And as is often the case, there were those that were jealous of his position. So the other presidents and the leaders were jealous of him, and so they sought to do something to get Daniel in trouble with the king. And they knew of Daniel's prayer life. They knew that Daniel prayed consistently to the Lord, and they thought, this is how we can get him. So they devised a plan. They went to the king and had him sign a decree without a lot of thought, saying that if anybody asked anything of anybody else except you, O king, they should be thrown in the lion's den. And the king thought, well, that's a pretty good idea. I'd like everybody to look to me as their king. And so he signed the decree. And they were pretty smart in how they did it. They said, as the Medes and the Persians is, in other words, we're going to put this in the books. So there's no authority to waffle on that agreement. So it was supposed to go on the books. So when the king made a decree that went on the books, that's the way it was. And so it was. Well, Daniel, and we'll begin reading then in the 6th chapter. In this 10th verse, it said, "When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knee 3 times a day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled, found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God." And you know the rest of the story. They took Daniel, and the king didn't have any option except to follow the decree that had been made. They threw him in the lion's den. Well, Daniel knew what the penalty was going to be if he prayed. He knew because it said he did as aforetime. But in his mind and in his heart, he was, "I'm not going to adjust my walk with God just because I'm going to be penalized for it or because I'm going to lose my life." Because he was in it for the long haul. And that's what I've written on the board. Daniel had purpose. We read about the 3 Hebrew children earlier and Daniel purposing in their heart that they wouldn't defile themselves with a portion of the king's meat. The long haul is not just a little short jaunt. When you think about long haul truckers, they're going all the way across the country. That's a little bit different than driving from here to Joplin once a day. Long haul means that there's going to be times that you don't feel like driving, but this is a long haul, I've got to make it. I know there have been times that when Renee and I drive out to the West Coast and we've made the drive many times in our marriage in different ways. Sometimes we'd stop at night, other times we would drive straight through and without stopping it's about 32 to 35 hours. And I'm good to drive most of the time. I don't usually have a problem, but there's about three hours there, right in the middle of the night from about 3 to 6 is bad for me. So it's like, Renee, if you can drive for just those 2 or 3 hours, I've got the other 30. I'm good. And so she would carry those 3 hours and I could do the rest. But this last trip we made, I was exhausted before we started, and it got to about, I don't know what time it was, about midnight, and I told her, I said, Renee, I can't go anymore. I said, I'm going to have to stop. So I said, I'm not asking you to drive through the night, and I said, we can stop, but I said, I can't push anymore. I was pushing before we left, and I said, I can't push anymore, so I'm going to have to stop. She drove most of the night, but that was her choice. But for a long haul, you don't just say, well, I don't feel like going. If you're going to make it, you have to go. When Ethan and I were climbing that mountain, do you know, I knew I couldn't stop. I have to keep going, even if it was slow. Before we even started, our guide told us, he said, I want to tell you a story. So we're like, okay, and he told us the story of the tortoise and the hare. You know the story of the tortoise and the hare. We got in the middle of the mountain. I said, little did you know I was going to be both the tortoise and the hare. In other words, I'm going to keep plodding along, but I'm going to have to stop along the way too. And I have the best of both worlds. But in serving the Lord this morning, we need to have a purpose in our heart that I'm in this for the long haul. So there are days that we're not going to feel like doing what we know we need to do. There's going to be times in our life for the Lord that it's, Lord, if I serve, if I do what I know you told me to do, there's going to be some penalties for it. It's going to get me in trouble over here if I do what you told me to do here. Folks, we need to be like Daniel. He knew that he was going to be throwing the lions in, but he did as aforetime. He still prayed 3 times a day. I don't believe he was out to make a show. There are some people that try to be in someone's face with their piety. He just did what he always did. His custom was to look towards Jerusalem when he prayed. And it would have been easy in this month to have just said, I'm going to close the shutters and I'm just going to privately, I'm still going to pray, but I'm going to go pray privately and I'm not going to be out where everybody can see me in the window praying. But do you know that he maintained his integrity with God and he was consistent in what he did? Consistency, by definition, is regularity, steady, free from variation. It means the same. It's reliable. Something that you can count on. Folks, spiritually speaking, I know that Daniel was human. I know there were times Daniel didn't feel like praying. I know there were days that Daniel felt just like you and I do when he really didn't feel like taking the time to pray. He was human. But he was consistent because he had a vision beyond today. I may be thrown in the lion's den, but I'm going to be consistent because I want to make heaven my home. There's going to be times in life, folks, serving the Lord, frankly, you're not going to feel like doing what's right. That's called temptation. There's going to be times you don't feel like praying. You don't feel like reading. Have you ever just not wanted to respond with patience and grace? Have you ever caught yourself? It's like, I don't feel like saying the right thing. Do you know that that's very human? But we're in this for the long haul, I trust. And if we're in it for the long haul, we need to be consistent then. And yes, I don't feel like it, but Lord, I'm still going to do what's right. I don't feel like it, but I'm still going to do what you told me to do. I'm still going to humble my heart. I'm still going to keep my mouth shut. I'm still going to, Lord, I'm still going to have your grace by your help. I want to have grace in this situation. And I sure don't feel like it. But Lord, I want to be consistent. And I want to be steady. That's what Daniel did. And you know the end of Daniel. When he was thrown in the mouth to the lions, the Lord shut their mouth. Do you know the Lord's not always going to shut the mouth of the lions? That story's inspiring. So, okay, the Lord will shut your lions' mouths. The Lord doesn't always do that. You read over in Hebrews where we talk about faith, there are a lot of people that died in the faith. They lost their lives doing the right thing. But do you know what? They gained their inheritance. So I want to encourage us this morning in the Lord, let's be in this for the long haul. Consistent. There are times in driving, and driving usually doesn't bother me, but I find as I'm getting older, I don't look forward to the long haul as much as I used to. Well, but do you know, it's like I don't feel like it, but we've got to do it. We've got to do it. If we're going to get there, I remember some actually a family member, they end up taking a week. They were just going to take it as it came. They took a week to drive what we did in 35 hours. Just whenever they felt like stopping, they just stop and do whatever they wanted. And do you know, spiritually speaking, it sounds like you're all's family too. Well, maybe I need to. It's not you're all's, not Justin's family. I know Renee's family, sometimes they drove, they would just stop and you stop to get fuel and be there for 45 minutes, an hour. Whereas you stop, get fuel, 5 minutes, you're on the road. But serving the Lord is what we're interested in this morning. Serving the Lord, we're going to have to go in for the long haul and recognize it's going to take some discipline. It's going to take discipline and consistency if we're going to make it. And the reality is all of us can make it this morning. All of us can make it to heaven, but it's going to take a consistent life with the Lord, whether we feel like it or not. I'm going to serve, I'm going to give, I'm going to worship, I'm going to humble myself, I'm going to pray, I'm going to do the things that God wants me to do, even when I don't feel like it, because the reality is you will not always feel like serving the Lord. Temptation, that's what temptation is. Jesus was tempted, but yet his heart was to do what was right. That's the caveat there. In our lives this morning, there we're going to be tested. The more consistent this morning that we are in doing something, the greater impact it has on our life. The more consistent we are in doing something. So consistency is vital to Christian victory. Sometimes it gets lost when we talk about being victorious. We talk about what the blood does. We talk about what the Holy Spirit does. We talk about what grace does, the power of God. All those things are so important, but we have a part to play. And part of the recipe to consistent Christian victory is self-discipline in our life of being consistent in our decisions and choices in life. The long haul, you know, thinking about the long haul, it's easy to get excited about bettering our lives if we can do it in 2 weeks. If we said we've got a 2-week program that if you do this, you will be fit and in shape, your weight will be right where you want it, you will have energy and stamina, who's in? 2 weeks. Say, I'm in. 2 weeks, I can do it. You know what I told Renee the other day? I said, it's easy to go on a diet every day and diet twice a day between breakfast and lunch and dinner. Do you know that if you're going to get something accomplished, if you're going to get something accomplished, it takes consistency. And it's not about the big things in life. There is power in the little things in life if you're consistent with it. The decision we make to follow the Lord, folks, it needs to be a long-haul decision. I want to say, when I got married, I was in it for the long haul. And do you know, I found, whether it's in marriage or whether it's with a job that you have, everybody has had jobs that you didn't feel like doing, right? But you were consistent. I'm in this to get it done. I'm gonna get it done and I'm gonna stick with it. We live in a world where people aren't being consistent. They're not in it for the long haul. So things get a little bit difficult. Leave your marriage, leave your job, leave the church, leave the Lord, leave anything where there's a problem. Folks, problems are in life. I want to say about marriage this morning, do you know when you make a purpose and a determination, when you may say your vows is, I mean this. I mean through sickness and in health. I'm glad my wife meant it. In sickness and in health. In poverty or in riches, some of those we haven't discovered yet. But do you know that through all the situations of life, there's a purpose here. We're in this for the long haul. So it doesn't matter what happens, we're committed to each other. Consistently. Do you know that will serve you in times when maybe you don't just feel those, and those of you that aren't married don't, this is just reality. But there are some days or some even periods of life after you've been married for so long, and I know there's few of you have been married longer than we have. We were working on 25 years. Do you know not every year is like every other year? Do you know that not every day is like every other day? Because it's a journey. It's a journey. But when you are committed to each other, we're going to be consistent here, There is strength in consistency. There is power there. The same thing applies in our relationship with God. We're on a journey with God. And some days, or you will go through periods of dry spells. You know, people, am I off to say people go through that in their marriages? All right, there's some dry spells sometimes. It doesn't mean, well, we'll just get rid of this one and go find another one. No, it's part of the journey. You'll get through the dry spell, but you've got to be consistent and keep on doing what Daniel did. 3 times a day, I'm going to keep doing what I've always been doing, the right thing, and the dry spells will turn into, the desert will turn into an oasis. With the Lord, it's the same way. And sometimes, especially when people are younger, they lose sight of that. It's like, well, I just don't really have the joy in my life, and it seems like things are pretty dry with the Lord. So I guess we get lax in our life. We begin to let some things go like we heard in Sunday school. But folks, we're in this for the long haul. Consistency. Regular, steady, reliable. I had down the scripture. We're not going to read it. But over in Matthew 24, that we read in Sunday school, if you read on in that illustration that Jesus was giving, he was talking about the wise servant, that when the master had gone on a journey, when he came back, the wise servant was the one that was still doing what he was supposed to be doing. But the evil servant said, well, my Lord delays his coming. And so he began to get lax. He began to actually get abusive with the other servants. He began to conduct himself in ways he shouldn't have because he said the Lord delays his coming. Folks, until the Lord comes back, let's keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're in it for the long haul. The servant, the wise servant knew the Lord's going to come back. And so I want to be consistent so when he comes back, things are still in order. Folks, that's what the Lord wants in our life this morning. Not always because I feel like cleaning my room. Children, not always because you feel like making the bed. Not always because you feel like putting your shoes up. But because it's the right thing to do. Consistency then, when you get in it, do you know, we need to make spiritual habits. You get in a habit of doing something, it just becomes the norm. And you really, a real habit is you almost don't even think about it. When you take your shoes off, where do they go? Just wherever you took them off? So they're laying in the entryway or in the middle of the floor in front of your chair, or where do they go? Well, that can be a habit too, but if it becomes a habit is I'm going to put it up. Through consistency, after so many days and months of doing that, you don't even think about it. You just do it. We can develop some bad spiritual habits sometimes, but I want to focus on the positive. We can develop some good positive habits in the Lord. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read. I'm going to give, I'm going to worship, I'm going to serve, I'm going to do the things that God wants me to do. And when I don't feel like, Lord, I just don't really feel like doing the things I know God wants me to do today, well, that's normal, but I want to do it anyway because I'm in it for the long haul. I have a destination that I want to reach. Well, for the scripture over in Hebrews 6:12, he said that ye be not slothful, but followers of them through who faith, of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In other words, we don't inherit the promises overnight. Once you put your house on the market, someone didn't come knocking on the door the minute after you did, said, I want to buy. That would be nice. But the reality is, it's going to be those that through faithfulness are ready and prepared and done what they needed to do. Spiritually the same way. And so his exhortation was, don't be slothful. In other words, don't be inactive or lethargic. You know, and then he talked about, but followers of them who are through faith and patience inherit the promise. Patience is much more than just waiting. If you study out patience, patience actually means endurance or consistency. You say, well, I'm just waiting, I'm not doing anything. No, that's not what he's saying. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Keep doing the right thing, whether you feel like it or not. People that run, for example, a runner does not have endurance because they just run when they feel like it. Someone has endurance when they train, not just occasionally, but consistently, regularly. Well, I've seen a lot of people get in a serious battle, go through hard trials, and you see them get close to the Lord. I've seen this happen in death many times. A loved one dies, and then all of a sudden I'm ready to do business with God. And that's wonderful. The Lord uses those opportunities, so I'm not undermining that. But I've also seen something else happen. When people get into heavy trial, sometimes they turn to the Lord and start getting close to the Lord, but they're in it for the short haul until I can get out of the battle. Because once I'm not grieving as much and I just get back to, you know, I'm not grieving as much, then where'd your desire for the Lord go? Where's the Lord now? Where's those purposes? Where are those purposes that you made? One author put it this way, and you probably heard this similar phrase before. He said, the problem in doing what we've always done is that we're going to get what we've always got. So what are we being consistent with? In our spiritual life, folks, if we will be consistent doing the right things, do you know that we're going to start reaping the harvest from those things? But it's going to take diligence, whether you feel like it or not. Power of consistency. Let me illustrate it this way. There's power in consistency, and it doesn't take great things. You take a dripping faucet, turn it off, can't turn it off, and it just drips. Drip, 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 consistently drips. Is there any power in that drip? You may say it's a little thing. But do you know what would happen if you put a rock under that and let it stay there year after year after year after year? You know what it would do to the rock? Put a hole in it, wouldn't it? You know, that's how gullies are formed. That's how even some canyons have been formed, by pressure being exerted, just little bit of just consistent rain, little bit of consistent dripping, a little force, and it creates big things. You know, spiritually, sometimes we can say things are kind of insignificant. It's not that big of a deal. But do you realize that when we will be consistent in the little things spiritually, it will have big impacts on us in a positive way too? Reading and prayer, again, just the things that take some self-discipline sometimes. And it goes even beyond that. The way that our attitudes, the way that we dress, the places we go, the words that we speak. Are we being consistent? Have we gotten a little bit slothful in some areas? If we'll be consistent, you will find that it is empowering. It is empowering to be consistent in the things of God, because it helps us maintain our focus that I'm in this for the long haul. So in the days that I don't feel like doing it, now I've got a history of having done the right thing. And that consistency will get me through those dry spells or those times I'm feeling kind of weak, because I've been faithful in the little things. And it sees us through the dry times. I know people have expressed this before similar, maybe not in these words, but I just don't feel like being a good example. Well, do you know, I've caught myself with my children before talking about example, and I thought that's weakening the argument. It's weakening the case, because it's not just about being a good example. A good example is doing the right thing for the right reason, which means it doesn't matter whether someone's looking or not. It's not just an issue of what you think of me, so I have to be a good example. It's good for me whether you're watching or not. You understand? So it's a consistency of doing the right thing, that our spiritual life, day in and day out, that our actions, that we're living by faith and not by sight. Whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to do the right thing. Power of insignificant things. $20 a week. Anybody afford $20 a week? Everybody's scared to nod their head yes. There is power in insignificant things. Most people that are working a job have $20 a week. You say, okay, I can, you know. And if you don't know, someone else could come along and look at your budget and say, hey, cut out, you know, four little stops in the week and you've got your $20. But $20 a week for 45 years invested, right? $20 a week invested at 8%, 45 years. So you start when you're 20 years old. When you're 65 years old, that would be $462,000. Now, you can say $20 a week, and you say, well, I can't afford to lay anything away. Well, you just spent $6 at McDonald's, and that's fine if you do. But could have you got a $1 taco and had $5 left, and after a week you'd have $20? And see, young people many times think, I don't have a lot, so it's not worth putting away. The greatest impact, young people and children, that you can have on your financial future is putting a little bit away when you're young. That has a lot more impact than putting away thousands of dollars when you're old. Your $20 when you're young will have more impact when you're old. So don't wait till you have a lot of money. The key for young people is put it away now. $20 a week. Invested for 45 years. So what if you could put away $40 a week? You'd have close to $1 million. You say, I can't. Yes, you can. It's the power of the insignificant. Spiritually this morning, it's the insignificant things many times that's going to make a big impact on us spiritually. For the things we say, it's not that big of a deal, or I know I haven't been real faithful at praying, but my heart's right. And think about the positive long-term impact. Consistency is not always exciting. You know, the reality is it's really usually not exciting. You know, actually, that's where part of what temptation is. Part of what temptation is, it's breaking people out of the norm to try to do something different. To a large extent, that's what temptation is. When the initial euphoria of salvation is over, what are we going to be left with? I got saved. I'm so excited. I've turned my life around. But what about in 6 months? It's living life. I'm in this for the long haul. I want to be consistent. And do you know, during the dry times when we're consistent, that is when our spiritual roots start actually getting deeper. For a while, you plant your seed. It needs water. But do you know, there comes a time that dryness is good, because those roots then are going to start going down. During the dry times of life, saints, is not the time for us to get slothful. It's not the time. I thought about our Wednesday night service, and I know the temptation is common. So, well, I'm not needed. You know, I don't feel like going to service. I don't feel like it. You know, I don't always either. But do you know, the times we don't feel like it is probably a lot of times we need it the most. So then we develop a pattern of consistency, because I'm in it for the long haul. And that's when our roots start getting deeper. Only let your conversation, Philippians 1:27, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul was saying, let it be consistent. Be in it for the long haul, whether I'm there. I've heard of congregations in other places, in other countries, that when the missionary would come, they would all change their clothes and they'd get ready for the missionary. Missionary leave, they'd go back to old style of living. I remember one of the pastor's daughters, she didn't know had come to town, I guess. And she walked around, she was on her own, she was married, but she walked around where the mission house was, and she saw me, and I saw her, and she went scurrying around the corner. She came back, and she looked a little different than what I'd seen her when I first saw her. Thought, there's no need for that. You don't have to do something to please me. You wear earrings, wear your earrings. It's not about, you know, you say, oh, Brother Michael's here, I'm going to take my earrings off. Paul said, let it be when I hear of your affairs, whether I'm there or not, that you're striving for the gospel. You know? So that you're striving for the gospel. I'm in it for the long haul. Consistency, regardless of who's there, regardless if we're in camp meeting or on vacation, if we're just in the home with just our family, so you can speak however you want, no one hears you, or if everybody was around, he said, be consistent. Be faithful, Be diligent. Folks, there is power in consistency in the little things. So, we're going to close here in just a few minutes. In Ecclesiastes, we are encouraged. He said, he that observeth the wind will not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And then verse 6, it said, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether both shall be alike good. In other words, waiting for the convenient or the best time to do things in our life. He said, don't wait for the convenient time, because reality is there's usually never just a real optimal time to serve the Lord. So he said, just sow your seed. In the morning do it. In the evening do it. Just like Daniel. Doesn't matter what I'm going to face. Doesn't matter what opposition I get. Doesn't matter what the consequences are, Lord. I'm going to pray today. And I'm going to do it like I've always done it. Well, if we wait this morning for a convenient time to take up our cross, it's never going to come. If we wait for a convenient time to really get spiritual, it's not going to come. What's the key to being spiritual? Has anybody discovered some kind of a spiritual pill you can swallow with a cup of water and be spiritual when you wake up the next morning? I haven't found it. You know where the power is? It's in your purpose that, Lord, I'm in this for the long haul, and I'm going to start being consistent in the little things in my life, whether I feel like it or not. Well, I don't feel like... Am I living by my feelings? I'm not going to get to heaven by my feelings. We're going to get to heaven by staying faithful to the Lord. So I want to encourage us this morning, let's sow our seed. Let's do what's right, whether we feel like it or not. Let's do the right thing. In closing, 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes we look at things, maybe some things you've done for the Lord, or some of the doctrines of the Bible, or some of the way of life that God wants of us, and we say it's not that important. I'll just be steadfast this morning. Let's not let down, but let's be consistent. Let's be steadfast, because it's not in vain. And it's not just, we can say it's not in vain in the Lord, like God's over here. He's talking about in our life. In the Lord's working in our life, these things are not in vain. So keep being consistent, because we're in it for the long haul. And I will just say this, and I know I'm at the danger of repeating myself. I have found in other areas of my life that it was that purpose and that consistency that can get you through some tough times. With the Lord, it's the same way. I found it to be so. So I'm not going to wake up this morning, I don't feel like, so like, okay, am I going to backslide? I kind of feel like it. You understand what I'm saying? I don't really feel real spiritual, and I'm feeling pretty human, and I just don't feel like doing the right thing. That's okay. We all feel that way sometimes. But what's going to keep us is that it doesn't matter how I feel. I know where my heart is, and I'm in it for the long haul. So I'm going to keep doing what I know the Lord wants me to do. And I'll tell you what, the Lord will bless you for it. And it'll get you through times where many people have fallen. It will get you through dry times in your life. The Lord will bring you out to an oasis. So be of good courage this morning, and let's be consistent, faithfully consistent. And folks, if you're in it for the long haul, you know what? You're going to make it. But this is a key to our victory. Lord bless.